Hey, this is Chris Bleck. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast, brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Is the chat good? We good on the chat? Twitch, we good?
I haven't had to turn it around yet.
ESPN 1000 Chicago, we good on the chat?
Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
At Adam A. Abdallah, at Chris Bleck on Twitter. We good on Twitter? Everyone good on Twitter? Oh, some are not good on Twitter. All right. Anthony in Glendale Heights, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? I'm a huge fan. I've been listening to you since, you know, you guys were producers and everything. And I'm real excited for you to have your own show, but I just want to say I'm proud that you guys are bringing this stuff up tonight. It takes a lot to step out and engage in it. And I'm 28 years old, been a Cubs fan since I was 5 or 6, you know, and it's embarrassing right now to be a Cubs fan. Like Abdallah was saying, it's hard to stick with a team where you see where the money's going. You hear the words coming out of their mouth. You see the actions and things like this go on, and you don't get something from the top down to say, hey, support your guy. It's embarrassing right now. To be a Cubs fan, and with the Sox being so exciting, kind of keeping it on sports, it's more interesting for me to watch them right now, and it's more palatable for me to watch that team on the South side than it is to stick my roots and watch this team.
Because listen, Anthony, don't be ashamed if that Tim Anderson jersey's in the cart. Don't be ashamed.
You guys are nuts.
You know what?
You guys are nuts.
Like, realistically, though, it's hard to palate. You know, you guys brought up whether it's Breonna Taylor, Tamir Rice, Philando Castile, Jacob Blake, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what justification the people who are going to defend the police come up with. These lives are being lost at a rate that is disproportionate, and a lot of these people are innocent people. People like Breonna Taylor laying in her bed, you know, Philando Castile just pulled over, and he told the guy he was reaching for his ID. Like, how are you going to defend this? And then you see the people who are running your baseball team that you're a fan of for 2 decades, and they're standing behind the people who support those actions. Like, it's disgusting. It's nauseating.
Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate the phone call, man.
No, he's absolutely right. Anthony's absolutely right. I mean, look, people, I'm not going to tell people what to do with their money. That's not for me to do. You do whatever you want with your money.
Do you
right?
think the Cubs knew that this was going to be the reaction tonight? When Jason Hayward decided not to play and they continued on with their game playing the Tigers right now?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I mean, we kind of knew it. Behind the scenes, you and I said to each other before the show started at 6 o'clock, right before Waddle and Sylvie asked us what's coming up on the show.
Yeah.
Said the optics are going to be bad here.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
It started right when what do you call it? So here we go with the Cardinals now, too. Dexter Fowler and Jack Flaherty have decided to stand in solidarity with their players throughout Major League Baseball. Dexter Fowler is a healthy scratch from tonight's game.
All right.
So the Cardinals are going to play on.
Cardinals are going to play. Dexter Fowler will be not playing tonight.
I think that, like I said, I'm not going to tell people what to do with their money, but we always say sports are a business and teams are a business, right? So people choose to spend their money on certain businesses and not spend their money at certain businesses. So if... You know, if Anthony or me or whoever is a Cubs fan sees this from the track record of ownership and now from the players, and you choose not to spend your money and you choose to take your money to the South side, I'm not going to fault anybody for doing that. You know, if you want to go, if you know, like through all of this, we've seen a few businesses around Chicago that have gone under because of their response to the Black Lives Matter movement. And they've gone out of business. And that's people's right. If you don't want to spend your money at a certain place, don't spend your money at a certain place. I'm not going to tell you how to do that. But I'm also not going to be, I'm not going to criticize you if you do. You know? So if you want to keep going to Cubs games and spending and buying t-shirts and jerseys and stuff, more power to you.
You almost said something else.
And no, I said t-shirts and
you
jerseys.
You self-edited.
I almost said shirseys. That's what I almost said. Right. I almost said shirseys.
Right, right.
I went to t-shirts and shirseys.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was something else. Trey on the South Side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Trey?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I love the show.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, and I really just wanted to call to express an extreme appreciation for the education that you guys are spreading. Like, even back before you got your own show, when I used to listen to you guys on the weekend, and you get these irate callers, and it seems like you guys really care about the issues and are really empathetic and really understand what's going on, and you constantly try to educate the callers that come, that call, and you guys, I mean, I really appreciate it because, I mean, I'm just, like, proud to be a fan of the show just because of that. You know, I love the sports insight, but, you know, with the everything that's going on and just to hear your responses and how, you know, calm and empathetic you are with the issue is really heartwarming, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Trey. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't think it's that hard to listen to people.
Yeah, of course it's not. It's the easiest thing you can do. Just shut up and listen.
Well, but
it's literally the easiest thing to do is to just shut up and listen.
And like that's where, like, I see what the NBA does. It's my basketball is my favorite sport. Played it growing up. I love basketball. There's nothing I would rather do in life than watch basketball. And so the way Trey feels, that's the way I feel about the NBA leading in these social issues, using the platform they have. You know, they have the ability, they have the people who are the faces of franchises and the faces of the league who want to be on the forefront of trying to make change. They have a commissioner who's willing to let that happen, who wants to be on the forefront of making change happen. You know, like in so many different facets too. Like, what I think is interesting about the bubble in Orlando was that not only did they have the social component based on the unrest in this country and Black Lives Matters, but they also had an eye on the ball with trying to help people figure out COVID-19. The NBA was a part of that Yale study with the saliva tests because they needed the test needed people to test the test, right? They needed bodies to go through the testing protocols. And the NBA said, hey, we will do the additional saliva tests each and every day with everyone in the bubble so you can rack up the numbers to get this off the ground, which we are getting closer each and every day to getting the saliva tests ready and available for public consumption to then hopefully start to move past what we've been dealing with the lag in testing for COVID-19. So, like, the NBA has their eye on all these different things. It makes me proud. Appreciate the phone call from Trey.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Trey called into, I believe he called us earlier in the day. But yeah, look, we're just, I mean, it's not hard to be, I don't think it's hard to be empathetic to empathetic of other people's opinions. I don't think it's hard to sit here and listen. I feel like, yeah, there's a lot of, to quote Cap, there's a lot of unity that needs to take place, but there's also, like, we...
Are you going on a walk?
No. I'm not going on a walk.
Are you getting a tattoo?
No. I have enough already.
Okay.
People need to listen. People need to listen. And, like, is it right or wrong that the Cubs are playing right now as they're up 2-0 on the Tigers? I don't know. It would have been for the Cardinals to play without Dexter Fowler and Flaherty. Like, I feel like it would make a lot more sense if the players showed solidarity with Dexter Fowler and showed solidarity with Jason Hayward.
You know, like along those lines, right? The NBA had selected phrases and sayings and words that you could put on the back of your jersey. And some of the critique to that is that it's premeditated, it's sanctioned by the league. They're only allowing people to put things that are, you know, safe on the back of a jersey. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The statements, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, as being a white male, I think it means something if you are a white NBA player and you have Black Lives Matter on the back of your jersey. I think that means something. So I think along those lines, I think it would mean something to stand by Jason Hayward or Dexter Fowler. Or if an entire team decided not to play. Like, I don't know how you could be an individual on the Cubs and see Jason J. Hay just being by himself tonight. I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. I'm not a professional baseball player, but part of me would think, like, hopefully I would have the wherewithal to be like, I think we got to support him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the entire NBA and the WNBA are not playing tonight, then who cares? We have doubleheaders, seven-inning doubleheaders. We'll figure it out. It's not a big deal. Don't play.
And by all accounts, according to, you know, one of the Reds pitchers posted on his Instagram, they're going to play tomorrow. They wanted to bring attention to this today.
They'll figure it out. It's not like this is Game 7 of the World Series and it has to take place today.
And this is probably an indictment on us that it took this for us to talk about it today.
Well, and like, that's
look,
where...
If the NBA is playing right now, if we're watching...
Well, that's
if
the
we're
statement
leading,
the league made today.
Exactly.
If that's exactly what the Bucks wanted.
If we're leading into Lakers-Blazers that was supposed to come up at 8 o'clock tonight, and we're talking about how, you know, all the Cubs are up, and, you know, Jason Hayward's out there, and the Brewers and the Reds are playing, and we're giving you score updates. We're not talking
about
this.
Are you kidding me?
Right,
I mean, tonight,
we're not
talking about there is so much whole, football to get to tonight.
There's a lot of... I got a lot of... What do they call it? RAM? I got a lot of stuff in here. I got a lot of stuff on this computer.
Yeah,
I got a lot of stuff.
I've got so much I want to get to tonight. We're going to talk with Brett Coleman from the Film Room on YouTube coming up in like 5 minutes. Great NFL breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
We're about 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL season. There's so much going on. But once again, Black and Abdallah here with you here on ESPN 1000. We allow you to participate on the show. The phone lines are open. So if you call 312-332-3776, you're on the air. Dan in DeKalb, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to kind of talk about the guy that said, oh, he's a felon and all this bad stuff about this guy. Look, there are people in prison right now. They get into a fight. They don't just open fire on the prisoners and kill them because they're felons. They're in the worst situation you could be. Small confined space with somebody with a weapon. And they still don't come up with the excuse to just shoot them 7 times. So it's kind of upsetting to hear somebody say, oh, because you had a criminal record. Also, I've been out with my friends who are Caucasian. One guy got drunk, had a bad mix of medication, and the police did shoot him. And it wasn't because he was a felon or anything. He was out there having a mental break. And like your other caller said, they don't de-escalate anything. That's the problem. They don't find out anything. Now, as far as sports goes and those guys kind of playing or not playing, they get it both ways. If they don't stand up, they say you're the richest people of the black community or the Hispanic community or the white community, and you guys just don't do anything. But when they do something, you know, and it's kind of both ways. So I appreciate you guys shining light on the subject. I also like to bring up, you know, Cincinnati Reds and the Marty Schott and that whole situation, which made me not a Reds fan anymore because the organization was so racist. And I'm really glad you guys are kind of talking about it and opening up about it, and we can have an honest conversation about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Dan. And I will say this, because we are going to talk football coming up next.
Mm-hmm.
This will be a story tomorrow. When you turn into when you tune in to Cap and Jay Hood at 7 a.m. tomorrow,
absolutely.
They will be talking about this because this is going to be a story tomorrow that and we don't know the answer on the rest of the schedule on Major League Baseball. The Padres and the Mariners have canceled. There are a couple of late games later on tonight. I'm seeing on the screen now, do you see this? The Dodgers and the Giants have now postponed as well. So there are games that are taking place later tonight that are supposed to take place that are canceling. The Cubs went along and played. It looks like the Athletics and the Rangers are going to play. The Royals and the Cardinals set to play. Rockies Diamondbacks at 8:40. We'll see if that takes place. But I'm seeing now on ESPN.com the Dodgers and the Giants game will not take place. So we have a few games in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. We have the NBA schedule for tonight canceled. The WNBA will not take place tonight, and we'll find out with the NBA what goes on tomorrow and how they're going to make these games up, if they bump everything back a day, if the games that were supposed to play tonight just now slot in at that spot a day later, and we kind of keep the schedule the way it is. It's a lot of stuff that we'll keep our eyes on, but we're going to talk football with one of the best in the business, Brett Coleman, coming up next.
Listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Two weeks and a day. We are closing in on the NFL season. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. There's a lot going on in sports tonight. We're keeping our eyes on it, but we're also going to preview the NFL season. And Abdallah, really, for the Chicago Bears, the quarterback position has been the main topic of conversation.
You don't say.
Well, here in training camp.
In Chicago?
We have a,
what year? Every
we
year?
We have a full-fledged quarterback competition taking place.
Do we?
It seems as we do. Mitchell Trubisky, Nick Foles.
Listen, I have the numbers. I have the from the informal, I guess formal poll we did earlier today on Waddle and Silva. You can get that at the ESPN Chicago app.
Yeah, seven reporters who covered the Bears came on the show. Four voted for Trubisky starting. Three voted Foles, even though, what, six of seven said that Foles has actually played better than Trubisky throughout camp. I mean, that's the surprising part, is that people are saying that Foles is playing better, but they still think the Bears are going to start Trubisky over Nick Foles.
Yeah, which is, it seems counterproductive, and it seems like in
a... One would think.
Well, here's how I look at this, is we don't know how many, like, everything is going well right now, right, as far as coronavirus with the NFL, right? Like, there's not a lot of positive tests. The players aren't testing positive. There was that scare where 77 players, but they were all false positives. They're going to start traveling, and it might start up again. You don't know how many of these games they're going to get in. And to take two L's at the beginning of the season.
You're just giving two L's because Trubisky's going to be in there?
You're going to. I bet you the Lions are favored.
At home?
It's in Detroit, isn't it?
No, they won't be favored. If anything, it'll be a pick 'em. They won't be favored. Look. All right, let's talk to one of our favorite football guests, Brett Coleman from the Film Room on YouTube. You can follow him on Twitter at Brett Coleman. Brett, as we bring you into the conversation, the talk around town has been about Foles and Trubisky. I know we talked to you back in the spring about this battle. Has your mind changed? Do you think the Bears will start Mitchell Trubisky, or do you think that they should go with Nick Foles, the one that they traded for in this offseason?
I had no idea that this whole Trubisky might start thing was an actual possibility. I thought we had already watched this movie, and we said how bad it was the first two times. I don't want a third.
Yeah, Brett. So this is the way it is here in town. We've had you on, like, three times in the last year, and each time you lay out all the different film issues with the way Mitch plays quarterback, and we say, see, fans, this is why Trubisky struggles. And then people kind of forget that, and then they see the second overall pick, and they think that there's hope there that Trubisky one day will figure it out.
How many years are we going to say
I know. Listen, Adam and I do not agree with this concept, by the way.
This is a league where quarterbacks show up in week one and they're lighting people up. You know, Deshaun Watson, who I know is like the boogeyman to Bears fans, you know, his first start, you know, thrown in at halftime against Cincy, he pulls out a gutty win when his team's doing nothing around him. And then he goes on before he got hurt in his rookie year, he was on pace to throw 45 touchdowns as a rookie. The previous NFL record was 26. Like, we are now in an era where a young quarterback can immediately be a high-level starter. Mitch, I would argue, has at his peak been average to slightly below average while showing some flashes, and that was 2 years ago now. Like, it's over. We're done. We're past this. Like, you might as well throw in Foles, who at least in the past, I think, has shown better than Trubisky. I mean, I'm not even talking about the Super Bowl run. I'm just talking, like, even going back to his 28-2 year in Philly, like, his peaks have always been higher than Trubisky's peaks. You traded for him. You might as well play him, because I think this whole Trubisky saga, it was over last year. And I really don't understand why they would try it again. Because it's going to be the same results again.
Yeah, and I think that that's the overwhelming thought here, is that if they go, if it's, because here's how the competition has gone so far, right? Every writer, every person who has seen the practices, and as of right now, there's only going to be two more open practices the rest of the preseason or whatever this training camp up until the first season. They're going to have this, or the first game of the season. They're going to have this quarterback big duel at Soldier Field, I guess. You can't buy tickets to it, but I wish we could watch that on Saturday. But basically, every writer has said they're both not performing well, but Foles is, like, slightly better, so maybe Trubisky gets the start because of his familiarity with the receivers and the offense.
But, I mean, hell, Nick Foles knows the offense, too. You know, like, that's why they traded for him instead of signing Cam Newton, which is what I was begging for the entire time, was please throw some money at Cam Newton. They ended up only signing him for $1 million in New England, which to me is theft. And the whole reason, the only way I was able gonna be able to slightly sort of get behind Foles was because it was going to be a limited offseason and he knew the system. Like, I was under the impression the whole time we brought him in because he's a guy that we know can start week one. If he's not starting week one, then what the hell is the point? You know, I don't get it. Like, why spend that money and why spend that capital acquiring a guy who's not even going to start over a bad quarterback? What's the point? I don't understand.
Brett Coleman from the Film Room on YouTube joining us here on ESPN 1000. Okay, Brett, so say it is Nick Foles. What's the outlook for the Chicago Bears on this season? How many wins can they get, and can this be a playoff team as we head into this year?
Honestly, if it's Nick Foles, like, I think he can be not even great, but just adequate. You know, not having those crippling turnovers, you know, I think he can be more efficient on third down than Mitch, who seemingly leads the league in missing throws that he should make on third downs. You know, I think just having that extra little bit of efficiency on offense is going to go a long way in terms of keeping the defense off the field so they're not just constantly gassed the whole time, which was probably their main concern last year, was just being run ragged by a bad offense that couldn't stay on the field. That's all they need, is just that extra little uptick in efficiency, you know, just a few more good catchable targets for Allen Robinson so that he can go be the elite receiver that we know he is. You know, the run game, I still think it might be a little bit of a mess, especially if David Montgomery's hurt, which we're still not sure the extent of his injury yet. But just a little bit of extra efficiency on offense, packaged with that still elite defense, in my opinion, you can still win a lot of games here, but I don't see them being any more efficient without Foles being a starter.
You mentioned Deshaun Watson. How is that offense supposed to improve with taking away his best weapon?
Oh, don't even get me started. You know, I'm a Texans fan, as you guys know, and
I'm just here to pull the string and let you go, Brett. Like,
it took me a solid 20 minutes to figure out that I wasn't being punked when I saw that tweet, because this is the best receiver in the NFL in DeAndre Hopkins. You're trading him away for a second-round pick and the corpse of David Johnson, and you're getting back with a second-round asset. You're getting Brandon Cooks, who over the last 3 years has averaged less than 60 yards in every single one of his starts. You're trading away the best receiver in the league, in my opinion, surefire Hall of Famer, in the middle of his prime, who has excellent chemistry with your young quarterback that you are trying to win a Super Bowl with while he's still cheap. I mean, good God. I know Bears fans have it rough, but at least you guys don't have Bill O'Brien running your team, because that is the worst move in franchise history, and it's not even close.
Brett Coleman from the Film Room on YouTube joining Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. When you look around the league, is there a team that you kind of do your research and your film studies on and you suggest, you know, I think that team is going to surprise people this season? Who would that team be?
You know, I'm kind of big on the Cardinals this year, like everybody else is, just because we all believe in Kyler so much. He's a tremendous young quarterback. Again, he's one of those quarterbacks where year one on a bad team, he's showing flashes of being a potentially elite quarterback in the future. That's something that we never got to see with Mitch. But Kyler's phenomenal. I'm a big believer in Kingsbury's offense. I think Vance Joseph, his defense, it was more of a personnel issue than it was a scheme issue last year. And I think they fixed that a lot by jettisoning Terrell Suggs. So now Suggs is no longer on the team, which means Chandler Jones gets to play the Will linebacker. Hassan Reddick gets to play a more natural position at Sam. You got Isaiah Simmons coming in to play Mo. So the linebacking core is already looking a lot better. The secondary is still a little bit of a problem, especially with that Robert Alford injury. But I think overall, this defense is going to be much improved. And again, it's kind of similar to the Bears. You just need a little bit of extra on one side of the ball so that the other side doesn't have to do everything. And it's going to be a damn good team. Like, I truly believe in the Cardinals. Are they going to win the division? Tough to say, but I do think that they're at least going to contend for a wild card. They're probably going to be Chicago's biggest competition, in my opinion, for like a sixth or a seventh seed.
There's a hot, sexy pick out there in the NFL. A lot of people are talking up the Lions. Are you convinced that the Lions
have
can put
Lions
something...
ever been sexy?
No, people are making right, sexy picks, right. Man. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing
analytics
it out there.
Are pointing to the
people
Lions
are
being
saying
good.
The Lions
right,
are sexy this year. Brett, what do you think of the Lions?
I would say sexy-ish. I think they're going to win more games and they're going to be better, but it's mainly for the non-sexy reasons. I'm a pretty big fan of the investments that they've made into their offensive line, particularly with Logan Stenberg and then the other Ohio State kid they drafted this year, too. They picked two really good guards. I'm a big fan of DeAndre Swift. I think if they split carries between him and Kerryon, assuming Kerryon stays healthy, which seemingly he never can, like I think that's a pretty good 1-2 punch in the backfield. Galladay is a good receiver. He's still got Marvin Jones there. Again, Stafford, if he stays healthy, is a really good quarterback. The defense, I'm in kind of, you know, prove it to me mode with them. I think they tried to play a very Patriot style last year where it's man coverage all over the place and it's kind of pass rush by committee, which you can make work, but you really need the secondary to be able to make it work. So we'll see if they play better this year. If the corners do play better, yeah, this team could be really good, but I'm kind of in wait and see mode with them because really the defense, I think, is going to be their biggest obstacle.
The Packers were 13-3, looked bad getting blown out by the 49ers in the playoffs. It seems like a lot of people are expecting them to take a step back. What do you think of the Green Bay Packers?
I think they're still going to be a good team, but I don't think it's going to be 13-3. You know, when I look at how they build their team, a lot of people were giving them crap for not taking a wide receiver in the draft. But look at how they lost to the 49ers twice. You know, the 49ers receivers were not what was beating them. It was the run game. It was the fact that they could line up in 21 personnel and 22 personnel and just mash them with the run game all day long, you know, working the play action game with the fullbacks and the tight ends. So when they invested in the draft, you look at who they picked. It's A.J. Dillon, who is basically a carbon copy physically of Derrick Henry to complement Aaron Jones. You got Josiah DeGuara, who's their version of Kyle Juszczyk. Like, they're building to mimic the 49ers, which for as great an offense as the 49ers are, they don't really rely on having elite wide receivers. So if you can match that kind of run game while also having an elite receiver like Devontae Adams, an elite quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, yeah, this can work. So I'm personally a big fan of what they're building, but just kind of looking at the division around them, I think it's going to be a stronger division, a stronger conference. They might be a better team, but with a worse record, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Brett. And I'm sorry that people here in Chicago still think that Mitchell Trubisky will become something. It's not us.
Not us.
But there are Bears fans out there who still think Trubisky will rise one day and take over the National Football League.
Yeah, so is Jay Cutler.
Thank you, Brett. We appreciate it.
Thanks, boys.
Brett Coleman from the Film Room on YouTube. Follow him on Twitter at Brett Coleman. Cutler has cows, you're right.
Coming up next, what? I was right.
Okay.
Chris was wrong.
All right, next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
We still good on Twitch? Everyone good on Twitch? We still good?
Yeah, Roderick Janes of appreciating my professional tease of saying coming up next. I mean, that's what you do. You say coming up next.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're supposed to pique your interest.
It's the old greenie tease.
It's supposed to pique your interest.
Yeah. It's supposed to be like... What about on Twitter? We still good on Twitter?
No, I'm going to have to mute some people. I might have to... You know what I'm going to have to do? I might have to set up the kiddie pool and block some people while I'm vibing in the kiddie pool.
I mean, there is... wow. Some of these threads that are taking place. Settle down, everyone.
I know, right? Okay, so to pay off my tease.
So before we went to commercial break, your tease was...
I was right. You were wrong. before we brought on Brett Coleman, I said, I bet you the Bears are a dog against the Lions.
Right.
And I was right. The Bears are a 1.5 dog against the Lions right now, week one.
Wow.
So, and the reason, and so then that's not the point.
Hold on. Let that settle in for Bears fans.
Does it go back to a pick'em if Foles starts, do you think? Is Foles worth?
No, I don't think so. I don't think either quarterback for the Chicago Bears will move a line.
I kind of like the Bears.
Well, yeah, as the underdog getting points on the road against the Lions.
They're getting points.
But think of it this way. If you have high hopes for the Chicago Bears heading into this season.
Oh, they better win that game.
Your team's not even favored in the first game. Against the Lions? All right. Just remember, Black and Abdallah told you the Lions are going to be pretty decent this year.
Pretty decent. I said they'd be better. You're right. What is Vegas telling us?
Vegas is telling us that at home, they're the favorite, right? Against a team that people around town think the Bears have a championship-level defense, right?
Yep.
And an improved offense. What do we hear? What is Braggs? He calls into the show every day. Improved offensive line. They got two tight ends. Look how great their tight ends are. Blah, 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 blah. All this stuff, how great the offense is, right? It's not Mitch's fault. It's everyone else's fault, right? That's what he says, right? It's okay that I say his name. He knows. Yeah. He calls the show. We'll call him 5 minutes. My point is this. If they're so great, how are they the underdog on the road against the Lions start week one?
Well, it's a road game. If it was a neutral site, the Bears would be a favorite by 1.5 because 3 points to the home team. And so there you go.
Well, on a neutral field, they're not better than the Lions by 3 points. This is what I'm telling you. This is what I'm saying. That is a concern to me. You didn't think that I had hot Bears thoughts off of the week one line.
Well, no. What I was going to do is tell you how excited I was to look at these other week one lines and say we should jump on this early lines. And additional lines. Early lines.
Love early lines.
We've got my first one.
Are we doing that here on the new
first
show
one that peaks,
on Tuesdays? Are we going to do that early lines?
Yes, we are.
Okay. All right.
Production meeting, make it open, Tyler.
Well,
please.
We don't have to have it open. We're just going to do that every
just
Tuesday
do
night.
Just get a little jazz it up.
Jazz it up. What is that hand?
Jazz it up. It's a jazz hand.
Playing a piano?
Spirit fingers.
Okay, go ahead.
So the Patriots at home against the Dolphins. The Patriots are a 6.5-point favorite.
Whoa. That just piqued my interest.
Yeah, it did.
At home?
The Patriots are at home.
Oh, okay. On the road, 6 points. Still, I'm
I like the Dolphins.
Yeah,
it's week one. Nobody knows anything about anything.
Let's get weird with this. Okay. That's definitely going in the teaser. By the way, that is so going in the teaser.
Seahawks on the road.
Think about that thing. Tease 6 points. Woo, baby.
Seahawks on the road against the Falcons, -1. The Seahawks -1 on the road against the Falcons.
Okay, I like that. I like the Seahawks there. I like that. They're going to win that game. I like that.
More than a point. Let's see. What else?
How about this one? The Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders. At home, hosting the Carolina Panthers. The line is 1.5. The Panthers are the underdog.
Okay.
Matt Rhule.
First game.
Get frisky with Teddy Bridgewater in that first game. Maybe they win by a field goal.
How about this? A team, I'm down on this team, but I don't know if I'm this down. The Titans on the road against the Broncos, I believe it's the second game of Monday Night Football, are a 1.5-point dog.
I like the Broncos there.
Chris, what if I told you?
The Broncos are going to win big.
Oh, the Bears. See, I get week two lines. We can jump on week two.
Whoa.
We can jump on week two. The Bears are a 5-point favorite at home against the Giants week two.
That makes sense.
That does make sense.
That makes more sense.
Yes.
That makes more sense than the week one line.
How about this? Week two. We were just talking about them. They're sexy-ish. The Lions, a 6-point dog on the road against the Packers.
Oh. Yeah, that will definitely be in the teaser.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to tease that to, like, what, plus 12?
Yeah.
Bring it.
Well, I mean, we might have to do the seven-point teaser there and get to the 13.
Okay.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers from the dead, you always want to get that extra field goal in there because of two touchdowns.
Here's our philosophy when it comes to gambling. Parlays will kill you. Everybody knows parlays will kill you. Parlays will kill you dead. But teasers... Now,
see Tyler. Here's the deal.
Tyler's laughing because Tyler's a gambler too. He's just laughing at you, like, okay. Y'all gonna lose all your money.
So no. Show meeting.
Show meeting.
Official show meeting. Tyler, here's the deal with the teasers. Abdallah and I on Sunday mornings, and we do this on Saturdays too, but on Sunday mornings, I come up with all these wacky teasers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, ah, Black, this is stupid. Look at this teaser. You did an all underdog teaser of the worst teams in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you hit a 9-team teaser and
it's amazing.
The next 7 weeks of your football gambling, it's fantastic.
And then by like week 5, I'm yelling at him.
And then you hit another.
Stop putting the Falcons in your teaser.
Well, the Falcons are the worst team.
Stop putting the Falcons in your teasers.
And the Steelers.
They're phony. Like, no, but the Falcons are phony because everyone thinks that they're good because they have all these hot fantasy football names. So all these nerds with their fantasy football, and we enjoy fantasy football, and we'll be doing a draft tomorrow night for ESPN 1000 here on the show for the fantasy football championship. But my point is this. Everyone gets fooled.
We have a team together,
Falcons,
don't we?
Each and every year. Yeah, we have to do the draft tomorrow on the show.
Who should we draft?
A football player.
Okay. Should we get Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, that'd be good.
Okay, cool. Mahomes. We'll draft Patrick Mahomes. I usually will send him back screen grabs of the teaser I'm doing, and it's just the same teaser, but no Falcons.
Yeah, and so the point is everyone thinks that the Falcons are going to be good each year. They have all these names. They're no good. Yeah.
We've been around the Falcons block once or twice.
Absolutely.
It's the worst block to be on, isn't it?
Ugh. So the advice to you is teasers are fun.
Do-do-do-do. The more you know.
No, I know that is. Yes.
Ooh, are we going to tease the first game?
Just letting it breathe.
You can't tease the first game of the year because there's no other games to tease it with, but the Texans are getting 10 against the Chiefs to start the season.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do you hear the quotes I gave you last night about Deshaun Watson?
I agree with you. I agree.
Tyler, did you know Deshaun Watson knows the playbook like he wrote it?
Might have written it. That's his coach.
That's what they're saying. He knows it that well.
Trade his best player.
Have you ever had taco pizza?
I've had some weird pizzas.
I'm going to ask you about that next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at 3CHI. That's the number 3CHI, the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. Visit 3CHI.com for more info and use promo code ESPN for 5% off.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Download the podcast of tonight's show on the ESPN Chicago app. Subscribe, rate, download, tell a friend about Black and Abdallah, and also download the baseball show. The podcast is on the ESPN Chicago app as well. The baseball show every night at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000.
I would love to know what someone says when they tell a friend.
Yeah, there's these two idiots who are on ESPN 1000 at night from 6 to 8. Check it out. You can hear Brett Coleman. He was on with us earlier tonight talking about the NFL. Thank you to Tyler Aki for producing tonight's show. And yeah, tell a friend. You're right. That is funny. What would you tell a friend?
I don't know.
Hey, man, I'm a satisfied customer. You should check out this podcast. It's weird. They talk about taco pizza. Did you see the story earlier today on the Tribune's website?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's your punchline to that? I didn't. Domino's has launched two specialty pizzas for delivery. Why, you might ask? Because people have a hard time getting takeout for tacos and cheeseburgers. So they made a taco pizza, which is a chicken taco pizza, and a cheeseburger pizza. And the press release from Domino's says, because tacos and cheeseburgers don't deliver well, because the bread or the tortillas, they get soggy and it's not as fresh, so we put it on a pizza. So Domino's, now you can order a chicken taco pizza, and you can do a cheeseburger pizza. What's the strangest pizza you've ever had?
Oh, well, I mean, look, you used to live by me in...
We used to live together. That would be by you.
Across the hall.
I'm trying to read. No, hold on. The hallway was long,
so he was at one end. I was at the front end.
Down
so
the
like,
bathroom.
Down
in the hall. His down room the hall. Was off the living room. My room was off the kitchen. Yeah. And then the bathroom.
And to be honest, my door didn't actually close. it kind of pushed closed. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't have something set up against the, like, how about this? The life of luxury that we had in that apartment in Lakeview,
mm-hmm.
off School Street.
Yeah. Okay, my point was this.
The door would not stay closed at night, so I'd have to take my book bag every night and push it.
I wasn't creeping into your
No, I know, but there's peace of mind when you're sleeping.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to like run in there.
You never know. You might be just standing in the corner watching me sleep.
What?
Just standing, staring at me.
Okay. Okay, so I finally found it. Okay, so my point was this.
Yeah.
You and I used to live in Lakeview together. I still live in Lakeview. You left because you're special. And there are two. There was one, and now there's two pizza places. There's Demo's and Big G's Pizza.
Yeah.
And they serve weird pizza. Like, there's a mac and cheese pizza. There's a cheeseburger pizza.
Oh, so good.
There was a fettuccine Alfredo pizza. There was a s'more pizza.
That one was great.
Dude, the s'more pizza. There was a chicken and waffles pizza.
Ugh.
They had a s'more pizza
where
the crust was just one gigantic, like, soft, like, graham cracker thing. So we would go all the time, drunk, and
hammered.
After a night of drinking, we'd stumble over there, and we'd get, like, three different kinds of slices.
Well, it was fuel to get home.
Yeah,
it was, like, halfway on the walk from Wrigleyville to our apartment.
This is not weird to me. Like, saying, oh, we're going to put tacos on a pizza, that's not weird to me. Saying, isn't a burger pizza just ground beef on the pizza?
Well, if they have, like, tortilla chips on it, that's weird.
Okay. But the burger pizza, like, is the sauce ketchup?
Are they putting lettuce on the pizza?
Because if you get a barbecue chicken pizza, sometimes the sauce is barbecue sauce.
Yeah, preferred. Or you can do both.
I like a mix.
Do both.
I like a mix.
D'Agostino's lets you do both.
I like a mix. That's why I like D'Agostino's. Another great Wrigleyville pizza location.
I agree. I used to order from there all the time when I lived up there. It was fantastic.
Still
great
there,
thing for us pizza.
Still there. Come by anytime you want. Great patio seating.
So let me, my second question in talking about the weird pizzas is this.
Like, look at this mac and cheese pizza. I'm looking at it. It's on Big
Looks
big
delicious.
Cheese pizza. Look at that.
I might stop on my way home.
Here's
my second question. Do you feel cheated when you order a specialty pizza like that then you double down sooner than you would think with a normal pizza? Because part of me, maybe I'm just a fat kid,
mm-hmm.
Part of me thinks when I get one of those pizzas, it's delicious and I love it. But then I think to myself, but a cheese and pepperoni pizza, like, I didn't have one of those. So maybe I could just get that, like, the following day. Like, am I weird that that's how my head thinks?
So you don't think it counts as,
like,
actually ordering pizza?
Yeah, right. Yes.
Okay,
it,
so,
like,
it doesn't
cheats
count.
Me out of a night of pizza.
I get it. But here's, my counter to that is, as someone who does not dine on the swine, my pizza choice.
What does
that
even mean?
He doesn't eat pork.
Oh, I don't eat pork as a Muslim.
I'm learning.
Yeah, I dine on, no dining on swine. It's cooler for
you. You follow all those rules, right?
Most of them.
Okay. You drink, right?
You drink, too.
I agree.
Do your research.
Carry on.
So my point is this.
Dine on swine.
Is that most of my pizza is boring because I have to get cheese.
Right.
Or I have to get, like, vegetables. Listen, or, like, barbecue chicken is good. So, like, when I always get weird pizza because I'm the guy that likes – I'm going to get dragged for this. I don't know I'm going to get more Twitter reaction to this or what I tweeted earlier that people are still finding in my mentions for. I like pineapple on my pizza.
Yeah, it's all right.
Because I don't get Hawaiian pizza because there's no ham and other stuff on it.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, to get a cheese and pineapple pizza is a little weird.
That's weird. I don't do that. I get it with other things, but
that's very strange.
So getting a weird pizza to me is good because all my pizza is normal. And not cool. Like, I don't get cool pepperonis on my pizza.
Listen, Kevin McAllister, a cheese pizza,
I
a large a cheese pizza.
Pizza.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I love
that.
A good cheddar. That's why me and Kevin is my boy, because we are, I understand the want to just have your own cheese pizza. Because everybody, when an office, and you know who you are, when an office gets pizza and you can eat sausage or pepperoni, let us have the cheese.
Get a cheese pizza. It's fine.
I know cheese is tasty, but let me get in there first because it's all I can eat. You have every option available.
Pardon the expression.
I have one.
Okay, so since we like to leave this with you, tomorrow at 7 a.m. you can listen to Cap and Jay Hood.
Mm-hmm.
I think this will be brought up tomorrow. Yahoo Sports did a simulation of the upcoming football season with Madden 2020, and the results kicked back with Nick Foles winning the MVP. No. Listen. Here are the stats. He threw for 4,800 yards, 44 touchdowns, five interceptions, a 70 completion percentage.
Yes!
And guess what? Not only that, the Bears had the best record, finishing 14-2.
What?
Getting to the Super Bowl.
No!
Beating the Kansas City Chiefs.
No!
42-24.
Super Bears, Super Bowl.
And,
Super Bears,
and,
Super Bowl.
And Nick Foles throws for 6 touchdown passes in the Super Bowl that the Bears win in the simulation on Madden on Yahoo's website.
Yeah!
That's up there tonight.
Yeah! Take that!
We'll love that. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Daddy like you.